Periodically on Ozarks at Large, we seek an expert's knowledge on a topic and ask what three things we all should know about that topic. This month, our three things attention lands on CPR. Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums has more.
The origins of what eventually became cardiopulmonary resuscitation can be found in books dating back to the 19th century. Actually, the suggestion of one part of CPR, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, was made in the 18th century by the Paris Academy of Sciences. The American Heart Association places the development of modern CPR, combining mouth-to-mouth breathing with chest compressions, to 1960. Annually, millions of people receive some form of CPR training. Katie Helms, the Assistant Director of University Recreation at the University of Arkansas, learned CPR in 1999, and she's been teaching the technique to others for 12 years through the American Red Cross. Last week, I asked her if she knew of a student that had taken any of her CPR classes who had saved a life with CPR.
Every once in a while, I will hear an anecdotal story about how someone is glad that they learned a specific piece out of one of the classes that I've taught. But for the most part, no. And that's a good thing. I feel like CPR is kind of like car insurance. You hope you never need to use it. But when you do, you're really glad you have it. So I think that the efficacy of your knowledge is very important, you know, that you can walk around with that confidence and that efficacy, that you know what to do and are maybe more willing to act, you know, in a situation that requires it.
Katie and many other CPR instructors say just the knowledge that you know you can give the victim of sudden trauma valuable time until medical help arrives is itself valuable. I asked Katie Helms for three things that we should all know about CPR. Number one, she says CPR over the years has changed.
They update the curriculum every few years according to the latest medical knowledge that they have to work with, and it has gotten simpler over the past several updates, and especially with this last update, it has gotten simpler. I don't know when the next update is. The last update was done in 2012, and it has become more and more cardiac-based and cardiac-focused. And so if we can narrow it down to that specific basis, that the basis of most adult emergencies is cardiac-related, then we can simplify the curriculum to kind of affect the greatest good for the greatest number of people. And that's kind of, you know, where the updates have gone in the last few years.
Fact number two about CPR, that while a class is needed to become certified, CPR is not complicated.
It's really not. No, it's not. And the class itself is divided into a couple of different sections. And I would say that the most complicated section is the one that deals with all of the things that you need to think about and consider and prepare for before providing care. So you need to do things like obtain consent from the victim and obtain clues from the environment and the scene and the victim as to what happened. And there are a lot of decision-making points in that process. And so I would say that is where a lot of the skills come in which you make your decisions and you prepare yourself. And then hopefully once you kind of decide what needs to be done, at that point it kind of becomes automatic. And there are only a couple of different directions to go once you assess the situation.
It's something that, gosh, anyone from, I don't know, preteen, 12, 13, up can learn.
Yes, absolutely. And there are different modules depending on the depth of training that you want and your age and who your target population is. And that's one thing that the Red Cross does pretty well is they have a lot of different modules for those different types of variables. So if you don't need or want a whole class, there is a module that is bystander only CPR. If you are working in a daycare, there is infant child CPR. If you're working where I am at the university, where I don't see a lot of children in my workplace, there's adult, you know, CPR for adults. And so you can kind of do a good job of mixing and matching the components that are right for your situation.
How difficult is it then to find a class to enroll in, and how long does it take?
Finding a class is pretty simple. You can go through the American Red Cross website, and they have an online tool where you type in your zip code and you find a class. And so once you get to the main American Red Cross website, which is redcross.org, you're going to look for the health and safety and training links. You know, they have some of the other components of their organization, like the disaster relief, on there too. So just steer towards the health and safety training parts, and then there is a function where you can look locally and regionally for all the different types of classes, not just CPRs and first aids, but things like lifeguarding, CPR, first aid, and Spanish. Mm-hmm. They even have, I think they even have pet CPR and
they
first
do,
aid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about that, but it looks interesting. So, you can see their menu of classes and what's around. A lot are taught at the Jones Center. I know that that's a local training site that they use heavily. And then at the University of Arkansas, we offer some limited classes to the public. We do a lot specifically for university purposes, but we also offer some to the public, like adult CPR, first aid, AED, and then we also offer lifeguarding modules to the public as well.
And the third thing Katie Helms wants us to know about CPR is that modern CPR increasingly includes automated external defibrillators, or AEDs. Many public spaces and private businesses now have AEDs stationed on their walls.
AEDs are more and more common, and as they become a more substantial part of the CPR process, you see those married quite a bit now. So yes, it's easy to find a CPR class that includes the AED component, and in fact, that's probably more common to see that now, the CPR with AED, than it is to just see CPR by itself.
And the AED is a lot more simple than people might realize.
It is.
Once you know the two or three basic things.
It is simple, and it is also very intimidating.
Yes.
And I think a class is very valuable in learning how to use it. It is simple to use, yes, but I think a class helps you
yes.
to look at it, play with it, learn what it does do and what it doesn't do, dispel any myths about it.
Know where to place the paddles.
Know where to place it. Hear it, turn it on, hear it talk to you, kind of experience that sense of urgency and follow its instructions, you know, in a safe situation. Absolutely. And an AED is very, very safe to use. And I think that there are a lot of myths out there as far as can you hurt somebody if you shock somebody that doesn't need it? And every time I ask that question in a class, I get a lot of very concerned looks from people. And that's actually a trick question. An AED won't shock somebody that doesn't need it. So it helps dispel some of those myths and helps you realize that it is very safe and you can use it and it's okay. Don't be afraid to put it on somebody and turn it on if the situation requires it. Don't be afraid because
it does the self-diagnosis.
Correct. The AED won't let you mess up, but that's not common knowledge. You know, I think a class really helps to help people to realize that.
Katie Helms is the Assistant Director of University Recreation at the University of Arkansas. She teaches CPR on campus through her training with the American Red Cross. If you're interested in taking a CPR class, there are many available through the Red Cross, the American Heart Association, as well as other agencies. Simply put the words CPR class, followed by your city, into a search engine. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Kyle Kellums.